This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you till 12. Martin will be here at 11. We have a couple of coaches coming off spectacular seasons at Maryville. Glenn Paulus, the men's golf coach. They won the GLVC. And we have Pat Evers, who was involved in a three-way tie. They got off to a tough start, and then they couldn't be beaten down the stretch. Pat, we'll begin with you. You have got to be thrilled with the way things went for you guys down the stretch.
Yeah. First 10 games in was obviously pretty rough, going 1-9, and then kind of things came together when we got the conference season and finished strong. So I think first year, you know, happy with it, hopefully heading in the right direction.
You have the unbelievable resume to become a coach at Maryville because you played on great teams at Central Missouri, coached there, and then at Jeffco you had your sensational run, three College World Series. I imagine all that just builds to this crescendo that really gives you some great things to, you know, bank on and recruit on. You know everybody in town.
Yeah. It's been fortunate to be at some really good programs and, you know, good colleges that were able to take care of us and have a lot of good players and obviously won a lot of games and had some great opportunities, whether it's at Central Missouri and going to Division II World Series or going to the Junior College World Series for those times at Jeffco. So it kind of worked out perfectly, and this opportunity came along last year, and I couldn't be more excited about it.
And as a baseball coach, you have to be baseball coach / mathematician as you divvy up these scholarships, don't you?
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, junior college was a little bit easy. You had 24 tuition waivers or 24 scholarships, you could do it.
I like the way you put that, tuition waivers. That'd be a lot easier. You didn't, you know.
No, yeah, that was great. You had 24 of them. It was great. And then you get to the, you know, NCAA side of it where you're a little bit more limited, whether it's at the Division I level or Division II level, and it's to get a little bit more strategic about it, and you pay a little bit more attention to some of those other sources where you can get some sort of supplemental scholarship, whether it's on the academic side. So, you know, you get to play around with numbers a lot more.
And even though you have the nucleus of your roster for next season, as we speak, there's probably some transfers out there, and there's probably still a lot of work to be done before the fall practices begin.
Yeah. We were able to add it's kind of becoming a little bit more common now where you see a lot more on the transfer side of it. So we were able to add a couple over the past couple weeks and hopefully add one or two more here before we finish up the 2019 recruiting class and, you know, really get geared towards the 2020, which is kind of going on right now with the whole showcase circuit and the tournaments on the weekends.
And have you noticed the NCAA seems to be a little bit more friendly in granting eligibility and a little bit more player-friendly, period?
It seems like it. You know, obviously I haven't been at this level, just being on the junior college side of it, but it seems like the trend where it's going, where there's a little bit more as far as not necessarily having everyone sitting out that 1 year and that, you know, waiver that they have there, and obviously going from the Division I, Division II side, you usually get that 1 year transfer exception. But it seems like more so now with, you know, some of the guys being a little bit more flexible as far as moving back, whether it's for whatever reason.
And your ability to recruit, I imagine you get a kid on campus, they see a beautiful park, they see great food, and they just see a good looking campus on Town and Country.
Yeah. It's definitely, you know, no offense to Hillsboro, Missouri, but coming into Maryville and everything that you have there and the resources, and it's definitely, from a facility standpoint, much nicer.
Glenn Paulus, you are stepping down as the head coach. Why? It's such a great gig. You're winning. Why would you leave now?
There were a lot of reasons, many of them personal, but when you're coaching golf at the collegiate level, it's hard to play. And the game kind of softens up a little. My wife and I want to travel some. We've got kids around the country, so it's pretty much time to give her a little time, too.
So you're a player. You tried to get on the senior tour, got to the finals. You were 49 or 50. How close were you? How many shots off were you?
Too many to keep going. These guys, and for me, it was the shots from 100 yards in. I'm putting them in 12, 15, 18 feet, and the guys that I'm competing against are putting them in 3, 4, 5, 6 feet. So that was it right there. It was a fun experience. So I had about a year and a half out on the road and just traveled a lot and played and just kept getting better and better and getting tournament hard and played well in San Antonio, got a spot out in Southern California in the finals, and a couple ex-PGA guys in the field there, so it was a tough field. But the level of play, even for the older guys, is very, very high.
Any really good players that you competed against on that senior tour or when you were trying to qualify?
Local guy, Billy Hall, okay. If you remember him. Yeah. He was out there a lot on some of the senior mini tour stuff. And then I was paired with Dave Barr, I don't know if you remember him,
yeah.
From Canada.
Nice run.
The two rounds I played with him in the first two rounds of that finals out there, he missed two greens. And both of them were on the fringe. And I don't think he had a shot into a par 4 or a third shot into a par 5 outside of 15 feet for two rounds. But he made nothing. He still shot, I think, 140 and got his spot. So that's how good they are with the wedges out there.
So that's the difference. It's not off the tee.
Not
it's maybe not putting, but it's 100 yards in.
100 yards in, and you have to putt the ball. Yeah. I mean, you hit it in there 6-8 feet, you got to make a lot of those too. So they're pretty good putters too.
And if you were to go out here and play today, your own ball, what would you shoot?
Today?
Yeah.
A million.
It's because you've been coaching and not playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting. Every time I talk to a pro, they say, you know, you think they're at a golf course. They never get to play. Pros at these clubs never get to play, do they?
Not much, because they're working pretty much 7 days a week. You know, even their day off, you know, like today, a Monday, they're out here working. So it's hard. They've got a lot of nice section events here in the Gateway section. And there are some guys that find me. They just find 45 minutes every couple of days to get out and, you know, keep the rust off. But in terms of competing, they don't get to compete a lot, so. It's a shame because that's what brought him to the game in the first place.
And when Koepka got one stroke back yesterday of Woodland, did you think Brooks was going to win?
I thought he'd get into a playoff. But my wife and I were traveling back from way up north Wisconsin yesterday, so I didn't get in front of the TV until Koepka was standing on 17T. And he hit a wonderful shot in there. And then he blistered that long iron into 18, right into the back fringe. And where Woodland was on 17 green, I'm doing the math. Okay, this is a real good chance at a bogey for Woodland. He's going to get up and down for birdie. We're going to see some bonus golf today. And then when it was over, that little pitch shot off the green that Woodland hit into that hole was like nothing I've ever seen at that level in that situation.
How about a question for both of you? They talked about Woodland last night, how he was a member of a couple of state basketball championships, played college basketball at Washburn. Coach, we hear so many parents are specializing with their kids at young ages. Just a bad idea, isn't it?
I think so, personally. I think there's a lot of value in playing multiple sports and doing different things, and part of it is just getting the wear and tear of playing baseball nonstop over and over again in the training. I think it'd be a little bit overkill at times. So being able to go compete and do different things, I think there's a lot of value in that.
And, Coach, I had a couple of my kids play college golf, and they played basketball, too. And I always thought them playing basketball made them better golfers, too.
Well, what I liked about it is we look for kids that were multi-sport athletes. And what I like about it is generally it's a soccer, it's a basketball, you know, real team sports. And you get that team element. And a lot of kids that are just focusing on golf really have never had that experience of being part of a team. And looking out for each other and helping each other. So they bring that to the table, and that helps a lot. That's been very helpful for our program in particular.
And I imagine you're seeing more athletic golfers each year now.
Clearly. Some of the kids on my team just tower over me. And, that's the way the game's going. It's certainly about you got to get it in the hole. And a short hitter with a good short game can still compete at the Division II level. But a lot of these guys are just hit it 3 miles, and a lot of them hit it straight for 3 miles.
Coach, on the baseball level, and I want to ask, this is for both of you. When a kid arrives, how much are you tinkering with his swing, or do you not deal with that at all?
I think there's always a little bit of tinkering here or there, but I think at the end of the day, there's a reason you recruited the person, there's a reason you brought them to campus, and you're not trying to bring someone in there and change everything that they do. So I think it's just like anything else, going from high school, college, or whenever you go up a level, there's a little different adjustments you have to make. But, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel by any means. I think if you recruit a person, there's a reason you recruited them, and you're not bringing people in there just to change them.
How about defensively? Is there more teaching going on there?
I think there's probably a little bit more there. Obviously, the game gets a little bit faster, whether it's footwork, hands, anything like that. I think that's a little bit of a transition just because the game does get a little bit faster the levels you go up. Especially probably more so on the defensive side. But at the end of the day, I think you bring someone into your program for a reason. You're not bringing someone in there to change them. And if you're doing that, then you're probably bringing in the wrong people.
How about you, Glenn? Are you doing any swing thoughts for the kids?
Not really. You know, by the time they get to us, their swing is their swing, you know, their motion anyway. Scott and I concentrate a lot on the fundamentals. A lot of times they'll say, Coach, you know, something's wrong with my swing. And, you know, we watch them hit three balls and they're aimed 10 yards to the right of the target. So there's nothing wrong with your swing. Let's just pay a little more attention to the aim and the alignment. And are you comfortable and balanced at setup, stuff like that. So our coaching more has to do with course management and if you're going to play a shot that's a little bit out of the ordinary here, you just make certain that it's a shot you've practiced and that you know you can hit.
Pat and Glenn, we appreciate it. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks, Frank.
Congratulations on their great seasons. All right, let's take a short time out before we go to break. Quick word about McBride Homes. Why buy an old home with the all to-dos when you can buy new? This June, McBride Homes is having a dream kitchen and bathroom sales event. Buy a new McBride home and receive $2,000 to $10,000 to spend towards a luxury kitchen or bath. McBride Homes has over 40 communities throughout the Metro St. Louis area and over 100 inventory homes ready for a quick move-in. Go to McBride's website right now. We'll take a timeout. Martin Kilcoyne when we come back.